Pasha Shemois, we're going to learn a bit of Chumash together today. Miss Hashem. Two stories. Vayihi, Vayomim, Hohem. This is number one on the sheet. Pasha Shemois, base, Yud Aleph to Yud Aleph. Vayihi, Vayomim, Hohem. Vayigdal Moshe. And Moshe grew up. Vayetze Arachov. And he went out to his brothers. Vayar Besivloisom. And he saw in their pains. Vayar Ish Mitzri. And he saw an Egyptian man, Make Ish Ivri, striking a Jewish person, Me'echov, one of Moshe Rabbeinu's own brothers. Vayifen Koi V'choi, so he looked this way and that, Vayar Ki Ein Ish, and he saw that there was no man there. Literally it means that there was nobody in the immediate vicinity. Vayach Es HaMitzri, he smote the Egyptian Vayitmaneu B'choil, and he covered him in sand, in earth. That was story day number one. Vayitze B'yem HaSheni. Then he went out on the second day. V'hine shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. On this day, rather than a non-Jew hitting a Jew, it was two Jews fighting. V'yomer l'rasha lama sakereyecho. He said to the evil person, "Why are you hitting your friend?" V'yomer, he responded, "Mi somcha le'ish sar v'shefet aleinu? Who appointed you, the judge, the prince, the adjudicator here? Halorgeni ataima, are you going to kill me? Kasha horagto es haMitzri, just like you killed the Mitzri yesterday, so too you're going to kill me." Vayira Moshe, and Moshe fled. Vayomar ochein noida hadova. He got very scared, and he says, "I'm going to be in trouble." So those are two stories. One story is on day number one, he sees a Mitzri hit a Jew, no questions asked, he looked around, killed him. Second day, he saw two Jews fighting, he asks them, "Why did you hit him?" He responded, and that's the end of the story. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf Nun Ches Omad Beis, number four on the sheet, says, Omar Rav Chanina, Oyved Keichovim Shehiko Es Yisrael, a guy who smites a Jew, Chayev Misa, is subject to the death penalty. How do I know? From this pasuk, Shenema, because it is written, Vayifen koi v'choi, he looked this way and that, Vayar ki einish, Vayaches an haMitzri, and he smote the Mitzri. So you see, very clearly in the psukim, a non-Jew hits a Jew, he's chayev misa. It sounds literal. The Ran in Chidushim does indeed learn it literally, that if a non-Jew hits a Jew, he's chayev misa. But the Rambam has a different opinion on this. The Rambam says, in Hilchas Melachim, Perek Yud Halacha Vav, number 11 on the sheets, it's towards the bottom, in the middle. V'goy shehike Yisrael, a non-Jew who hits a Jew, afil choval boy, even if he causes injury, afal pi shehu chayev misa, it's true that he's chayev misa, as the Gemara says, einoy neherag, but you don't actually kill him for it. So what does that mean? You're chayev misa, but you don't kill him for it. So the Achreinim are Masbid. The Rambam means it's true there is a chiv misa, but it's misa bidei shomayim. It's not a misa bidei bezdin. All other mitzvahs, the sheva mitzvahs bnei noach, we know if the bnei noach are over, no questions asked, they get killed alidei bezdin. But if he hits a Jew, then even though he will be killed, but he won't be killed alidei bezdin, einay nerag. It's a chiv of misa bidei shomayim. That's the shitta of the Rambam, and that's what the Meiri holds as well.
What's the raya that Gemara brings from Vayar Ki Anish Vayach Sam Mitzri?
So there he did hit him.
He killed him. Oh. Moshe killed him.
So the Mizrahi says a very interesting thing. The Mizrahi says, Rashi in Posuk Yud Beis, very famous Rashi number 2 on the sheets, Vayar Ki Ein Ish. He saw that there was no one there. Says Rashi, She'ein Ish Osid Lotzeis Mimenu She'yizgayr. Moshe Rabbeinu gazed into the future, and he saw that there was no Geri that was going to emerge from this Mitzri, in which case he thought, fine, I can go ahead and kill him.
Well, he didn't kill him physically, he killed him with the Shem Hashem.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Now that comes from a Medrash, and it's a very Shver Medrash. A Gemara in Erechin, a very famous Gemara in Erechin, says that if a woman would be over an Avera such that she's deserving of the death penalty, even if she happens to be pregnant at the time, we don't wait. We don't have Rachmanis in her and say, well, yes, she deserves a death penalty, but you know, she's having a child. Let's wait till the child's born and then kill her. No! The halacha is you kill her there and then. In which case, the Mizrahi asks, so why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu had to look into the future to see what would be, whether there are any descendants who are worthy and would therefore render this Mitzri as being worthy too? Too bad, if he deserves death, he deserves death. End of story. So the Mizrahi says that according to the Rambam, it's very beautiful. This whole halacha that we don't look into the future, if she's deserving of death, you kill her. That's a halacha in Misa Alidei Bestin. When the Bestin are killing, then we don't take into consideration any calculations, what will be, what's in the future, ifs, buts, maybe she's deserving the death penalty, you kill her. But this didn't have the status of a Misa Alidei Bestin. Moshe Rabbeinu was performing a Misa B'dei Shamayim, and the biggest proof of that is, as you just said, the Mariel Diskin and the Briskerov both say, Halorgeni ata oimer. If you look at that Rashi again, Rashi says, Mikan olu meidim shaharogei b'shem hamafeirosh. How did Moshe Rabbeinu kill him? Not with the sword. He uttered the shem hamafeirosh, the words, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that killed him. Says the Briskerov and the Mariel Diskin, I'll pee the Rambam. The Rambam tells us that when a goy hits a Jew, he's only chayav misa b'dei shamayim. So they say, Moshe Rabbeinu was carrying out a misa b'dei shamayim. How so? With the shem hamafeirosh. With God's name. That's misa b'dei shamayim. Says the Mizrahi, that's why he could look into the future. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, or Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, acting as an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu might well look into the future and decide whether this person should be saved or he shouldn't be saved. Has he got descendants that are worth saving him for? When it comes to the Misa of Bezdin, Bezdin don't make calculations. Chayav Misa, no questions asked. Moshe Rabbeinu's killing of the Mitzri was not a Misa Alidei Bezdin. It had the status of a Misa B'dei Shomayim. That's why he killed him with a Shem HaMafoyrish, and that's why he could look into the future. And it was only after he discovered that there were no Gerim that were going to emerge from this Mitzri, he says, fine, I can kill him. But otherwise, he would have had every right to say, I'm not going to kill him. Misa B'dei Odom doesn't take into consideration such calculations. But Misa B'dei Shamayim does. If you look in the Mariel Diskin, number 13 on the sheets, bottom left-hand corner, Ubezeh Yesh Lahatim. He says, according to this, after having said exactly the Shtickle Torah, we said that why do you look into the future? It's because it's only a Misa B'dei Shamayim. He says, that's what we can understand very beautifully. Droshas Chazal, Sha'omru, Sha'horga, B'Shem HaMafayrish. V'leba Koyach HaZaroyah, not with physical powers. He says, Dezer Mihai Taimah, Shekiven Shadin Misosa, Hurak Midine Shamayim, is Gam Misosa Itay B'dei Shamayim. You have to kill him in a Shamayim Oifen. Not a physical killing. V'chol shem misosei rak midin shomayim, as long as the mis is only midin shomayim, im hoyo yoytzei mimenu toilda, had some descendant emerged from him who would have been worthy of saving, hoyo ma'akvenes oinshoi, then we would have indeed cancelled his punishment. Olchein ilu yoda moisha sheyotzei mimenu ish hasheyis gayer, loy hoyo ma'misei afilo b'shem ha'mafayrish. So that's the way the Mefarshim, the Mizrahi, the Briskerov, the Mariel Diskin all seem to learn this pasuk. This was not a misa b'dei Odom. The Ran, by the way, as we said, doesn't learn like that. The Ran learns the Gemara Kipshutai. If a guy hits a Jew, he's chayev misa. The Rambam says not that way. The Rambam, we says some furish einay merak. So how does he learn the Gemara? No, the Gemara means he killed bidei shamayim, and that's what was going on over here. That's how they learn.
How we explain why he start to look around somebody around, not around. By shamayim, he can kill him in the middle of crowd. What's the problem?
No. That's what they explain in the Chazal. The Chazal explained that he was looking, doesn't mean he was looking in the physical surroundings, he was looking into the future. How could he look into the future? He could look in the future, because Misa B'dei Shamayim takes into consideration such calculations.
He was looking into the future.
But that was...
And future, there's what to do with left and right.
How
to do two directions in future?
The this event.
Before the burning bush. How did he know the Shem HaMafayrish? How did he know the Shem HaMafayrish?
He didn't encounter Hashem.
So, I don't know. I haven't used it for a while. I'll tell you something very interesting.
I hope you don't.
Now that you mention it, I wasn't going to say it, but... I'll tell you an interesting thing. The son of the Chassam Sefer... youngest son of the Chassam Sefer, of Shimon Sefer, got the appointment. He became appointed as the Rav in Krakow. Now, Krakow in Poland is an essentially Hasidic kehillah. And when he got the position, there were people at the time who were a bit upset, because the Chassam Sefer isn't a Hasidic stock, it's from Hungary. So there were some people who were not happy with his appointment. Nobody disputed, he was a great Talmud Chacham, Reb Shimon Sefer. So they decided that when he's going to give his induction drosha, there were people there, Talmid Chachamim. They prepared the Inyan as well, and they were getting ready to throw all types of questions in the middle of his drosha, and they would prove him wrong, frag up his whole shtekel Torah, and he'd lose his position. That's what was being planned. So Reb Shimon Sefer got wind of it. He heard what they were planning. So before he began his drasha, he got up upon the pulpit and he said the following. He said, once in Budapest, there was a Jewish butcher who was open on Shabbos. And my father, the holy Chassam Sefer, sent me and my brother, the Ksav Sefer, to this butcher on Shabbos and told him that our father, the Rav of Preshburg, that's right, the Chassam Sefer has said you must close your shop on Shabbos. Chil Shabbos b'fahesu. So we went along, and the store owner just refused to shut up shop. He said, no, clear out, he threatened us. We went back to our father, and our father says, go again, and tell him the Rav of Preshburg has said you have to close your store. So we said, listen, he seems getting violent, don't worry, he'll be okay. So they went to the store again, and they said, our father says you have to close your store. The store owner says, I'm not closing my store, and if you dare come back once again, I'll take one of my knives and kill you. So they went back to the Chassam Sefer, and the Chassam Sefer says, go back. He says, our father gave us a shame amafayrash. And he said, if this butcher just so much as lifts up a knife against you, just utter this shame and you'll be fine. So he says, we went to the butcher, he saw us coming, he took one of his knives, we uttered the shame, and the butcher dropped dead on the spot. So Shimon Sefer, when he began his drasha, says, I haven't yet forgotten that shame. That's what he said. So how do I know this story? Because the Chabina Rav, Zichrono Livracha, who was married to my great-grandfather's sister, his father was a Gaon Olam, the Koich of Miyakov, as far as Yeshiva named after him. He was one of those who was ready to pounce in the middle of the drasha. And he told this story to Chabina Rav, to a great uncle of mine who told it to me. So anybody wants to ask questions in this drasha is fine, don't worry. So you're perfectly on safe grounds. I'll call upon the open to how much Rabbeinu and Michael take a seat. It's a dangerous share this, huh? So Rabbeinu, how he knew the shame on Farish, I don't know, I can't tell you. Okay, I'll call upon, and that's Alma for Shimla. Now, in Pasuk Yudalad, when we get to the second story, this was the story of the Jews hitting the Jews. So he asks him, he says, Lomo sakereyacho, why are you hitting your friends? So he says, Halorgeni atoim, are you planning to kill me? So on a simple level, what does that mean? Why did he think that Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to kill him? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't threaten him with death. So on a simple level, you could say, and maybe that's what the Pasuk says as well, Kasha Horakto Esa Mitzri. He says, I don't know, I mean, you killed a Mitzri yesterday, maybe you'll kill me also. As far as I'm concerned, you killed him for no reason, so maybe you'll kill me for no reason, which is a bit difficult, because he killed a Mitzri for a very good reason. He killed a Mitzri because the Mitzri was Chayav Misa.
Also, how did he know that he killed a Mitzri? He could have been the Mephori. As Michael said, you know, he didn't stand there with a big fanfare, it's uttering a word. How did they know that Moshe Rabbeinu killed him?
How did he know it was him? We know Paro also knew it was him. Paro wanted to kill him.
Because of informing.
How do they know? That's the question. It's all based on your question. Yeah. How do they informed? Because he.
No, he was brilliant. So he could see.
He was kind of mitzvah of a. Kvuras Mason.
But also, actually, it was unusual because Jews were beaten every day, and all of a sudden, Moshe killed Mitzri, which did the same thing which happened with all Jews every day.
Yeah, true.
Definitely he looked very strange.
Yeah.
At least strange.
Yep. So it is funny because what Moshe Rabbeinu never saw any other Mitzri hit another Jew.
No, that kid
must have. So he killed
them all. Torah said they're beating them every day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, one hit another person and killed.
Listen, I don't mind saying this is the first time Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. He says, Vayigdal, he grew up, Vayar, he went out for the first time, but then it happened every single day.
Vayetze Lechov. Until now, he was
learning. In the palace. Yeah, no, true. So what happened after? No, no problem.
More,
what happened after
talking
that?
About
well, every day he went out and saw, he must have seen this hundreds of times. He must have gone around zapping them all.
When he ran away. He was taking the court, he had to run away.
He didn't see any other non-Jews.
I had a different bushat. But he was, just before this, the Apostle tells, he was appointed head of the palace, head of the thing. So he's now a Mitzvah. He's got a career in front of him. He goes out, looks Kor V'Kor. He looks this way, that way. Do I want to be the king, or do I want to be a Yid?
Oh, yeah. We heard this last night in the Gemara show from about Ashley Lazarus. Yeah. Very beautiful.
Yeah,
so, he killed the Mitzri in himself.
That's right.
Very beautiful chat. Oh, by the way, so we're just veering off the topic a bit. If you want to know an unbelievable Medrash. Later on in the Sedra, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu escaped to Midian. And Yisro says to his daughters, what happened? Who saved you? So it says, Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu. The Egyptian man saved us. The simple pshat is, it means Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Ish Mitzri. He saved us. The Medrash says a phenomenal thing. The Medrash says, what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri. He buried him. Dasan Aviram reported this to the palace. Paro tried to kill Moshe. Moshe had to escape to Midian. So ultimately, why did the daughters of Yisro get saved? Only because the Mitzri in Mitzrayim hit this Jew. And that triggered events. Says the Medrash, Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu. That Ish Mitzri saved us. Says the Medrash, the way I heard it explained, it's a phenomenal lesson how far HaKoros HaToiv has to go. This Ish Mitzri had no idea this was going to happen. It's the last thing that would have entered his mind, and yet he gets credit for it. Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu, a Mitzri saved you. How does Mitzri save us? Because he killed a Jew, and that triggered events, and Moshe Rabbeinu ended up here, and we ended up being saved. I'll call upon him. Shabbos is coming soon, but let's move. So I'll call upon him. We have the second story.
But this Mitzri was a special Mitzri. It was the one who did also with
true. But the Gemara says he was Chayav Misa for hitting the Jew. So, the second story, the Jew hits the Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what's going on? Loma Sakireyecho. So he says, oh, you're going to kill me? Why did he think Moshe Rabbeinu was going to kill him? So, the Ponim Yofis, the Briskerov, Ponim Yofis is Mechadashit, but the Briskerov says it's Mefurash and Medrash. The Medrash says that these two people weren't just fighting. They were trying to kill each other. The Medrash says, number 3 on the sheets, Dova Ache, what does it mean, Nitzim, quarreling? Shohayu Mischavnim Laroig Zezeh. They were after each other's lives. In which case, says the Briskerov, each one had the status of
a Raidef.
It was a Raidef. And that's why, and the Ponim Yofis says the same, that's why he turned round to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, oh, are you going to kill me? In other words, not that I deserve to be killed for fighting with my friend. I deserve to be killed, so I've got a Din Raidef. Each one of them had a Din Raidef, and therefore, he really was Chayav Misa, because of the Din Raidef. When somebody is pursuing somebody else to try and kill him, he himself can be killed by any onlooker. And therefore, he really was deserving of the death penalty. The Ponim Yofis adds, a very beautiful Hesafa. Look at the difference between the two stories. In the first story, he saw the Mitzri hitting, killed him. Didn't say a word to him. And the next day, he saw the two Jews fighting, which we've now seen in the Midrash. Midrash doesn't mean just fighting, they were after each other's throats. And he didn't kill him. He got engaged in a discussion. Lomo sakireyecho, why did you hit him? Says the Ponim Yofis, the Haflos, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sefer, he says a very beautiful chilik, a chap. The halacha is that when a goy is chayev misa, he doesn't need hasra, doesn't need any warning. Does avera, bang, finished, dead. So as soon as he saw this guy commit the avera, didn't need to ask him anything, didn't need to tell him anything, he just killed him on the spot, doesn't need hasra. But on the second day, when he's talking about two Jews, a Jew needs hasra. Now here comes the chiddush. Even a roide, if the Rambam says, needs hasra. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Reitzeach, Aleph Zayin, number 8 on the sheets. He tells you the halacha of Reidev. Kate says, Im his hiru, if you warned him, harihu Reidev achrav, and he nonetheless goes to pursue the Awan, afa pishalei kibul alav hasra, kibun shadayin hu Reidev, harizeh nerag. He deserves the death sentence. Says the Ponim Yafois, well, that was going on over here. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lomo sakere echo, how dare you hit your friend, which according to the Medrash means, how dare you try and kill him, he was giving him hasra. Because you couldn't have killed him in other circumstances. The first day, you're very happy to kill a mitzvah without any hasra, because a goy doesn't need hasra. If you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, number 10 on the sheets, Tes Yudalad, Uben Noyach, Nerag, Be'ed Echod, Ubedayin Echod, Beloy Hasra, without any Hasra. Many, many differences between the way a goy is killed and a Jew is killed. No Jew can be killed with one aid. No Jew can be killed with one dayin. No Jew can be killed without Hasra. When it comes to non-Jews, none of those rules apply, says the Rambam. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Mitzri, no questions asked, bang, zapped him dead on the spot. Second day, when he's talking about a Jew to a Jew, yes, he's a Reidev, but it's got to be with Hasra. So he says, Lomo Sakereyecha. That's the chap of the Ponim Yafis. The problem I have with the Ponim Yafis is, Lomo Sakereyecha is not a Loshen of Hasra. Lomo Sakereyecha is a question. Why are you hitting your friend? Hasra has dinim, you know. Look at the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Yud Beis, number 9 on the sheets. The Kesad Masrin boy. How must you warn him? He says, Oymrin loy praish. Oy al tase. You have to tell the fellow, don't do this, shazu averahi. V'chayev ata oleha, misas bezdin, oy malkas. And if you do it, you'll get this following punishment. There's a whole format in which you've got to tell this guy off. In which you've got to do the hasra.
We're not in this format.
Gemara Sanhedrin tells us.
Yeah, and when Gemara learning?
Sukkim, Shpatim, I think.
And when they learning?
Were they learning?
Mount Sinai, right? When it's happened?
Oh, so we'll see, we'll get to that. One second. We're going to get into your favorite discussion in a minute. 1 second. So if that's the question, the Ponim Yafis says, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu was going up to him, Lomo Sakereyecha. Why? Because he's a Jew, he needs Hasra. That's not a Lashon of Hasra. So we're a bit stuck now, Mamonoshach. If he was a Jew, then he needs Hasra. So what's this middle question? Lomo Sakereyecha. And if we're going to say that prior to Matan Torah he didn't have the status of a Jew, then he doesn't need Hasra at all, so just go and kill him. So what does he have to say anything to him? On the first day, he didn't say anything to the Mitzri. So the truth is, this takes center stage. This is one of the sugyas. We've always mentioned this Shaila, the Ovos, Klal Yisrael, they have the status of a Jew, a non-Jew, all sounds like a Chreina Shereith. The Rishonim discuss it on this Gemara. The Chidushei Oran discusses it on this Gemara, as we'll see in a second. It would be lovely to say, it would be very easy to say, we could perhaps avoid the whole discussion, and say, right, Moshe Rabbeinu maintained that prior to Matan Torah, they did not have the status of Jews. They had the status of non-Jews, they didn't need Hasra, and that's why there wasn't a proper Hasra going on.
So we mentioned it.
So that's the big question. Firstly, don't say anything at all.
Why? He got the pity of animal. Why not to have pity on Jew?
One second. But if it's Chayav Misa, it's Chayav Misa. No pity. No pity.
Again, Chayav Misa only after Torah.
No, Chas v'Shalom. Goy is also chayav misa for Reidev. That's nothing to do with Torah. Even at the status of a non-Jew, prior to Matan Torah, if you hit a Jew, hit anybody, you're chayav misa. If you are a Reidev, you're chayav misa. No Asra, no nothing. You should have killed him on the spot. So we could say, yeah, fine, because he had the status of a goy. So what's this Lomo Sakereyecha? The truth is, the Ran in Sanhedrin makes a big deal out of this Gemara. and says, what's the halacha if one goy hits another goy? Is he also chayav misa? Or is it only if he hits a Jew? So he says, well, let's look at the source. The source of this is the Jew is being hit by the Mitzri in Mitzrayim. Says the Ran, this is one of the most important sources in this whole discussion about what the status of the Jews were at the time. He says it's true they hadn't been mekabel the Torah yet, but they still had the status of a Jew. That's what the Ran says. Therefore, says the Ran, we have no source whatsoever that a goy who hits a goy is chayav misa. It's only a goy who hits the Jew, and don't tell me that that Jew didn't have the status of a Jew, because he did. Let's have a look at the Ran, number 5 on the sheets. He says, Mehechi alfin Allah, what's the source of this whole halacha? Meha mitzri shehiko es ish ivri. Shneim hayu b'nei noyach. So you're going to tell me, well, really, they both had the status of a goy. V'li loy mashmahochi. The Ran says, sorry, I'm not having any of it. This is the underlined part now. The dafke Yisrael, it only applies to a Jew. It's true, they hadn't yet been mekabel the Torah. But, certainly they had extra mitzvahs, more than the average goy. They had bris milah, etc., etc. In which case, says the Ran, as far as I'm concerned, they certainly had the status of Jews. In which case, this halacha only applies to a goy hitting a Jew. Well, if that's true, then we're back to square one. We're talking about a goy hitting a Jew. A Jew needs hasra. The ponim yofes, therefore, l'chayre is correct. Lomo sakereyecho isn't really a loshen of hasra. Isn't really a loshen of hasra. And I'll tell you something else. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, one of the big marmakomus on this subject, is a Mizrahi in with regard to a Gemara in the Dorim. The Gemara in the Dorim says, if you look, Lamed Aleph on the base, number 6 on the sheets. Tanya Rabbi Shua ben Korach. Omay, Rabbi Shua ben Korach Omer, Gedoy la Mila. Shekol Zechuyah is Sha'asa Moshe Rabbeinu la Yomduloi. Kishen Israsha il min Hamila. This is also, by the way, one of the big parshas in this week's Hedra. Moshe Rabbeinu did not do the bris mila on his child. Shenema, Vayifkesheu Hashem, Vayivakesh Hamisa, Kodesh Baruch was going to kill him because he didn't do bris mila on his son. And why didn't he do it? Omar Rabbi, Chas v'Shalom, Shemesh Rabbeinu Nisrashel min Hamila. Don't just think that Moshe Rabbeinu ignored bris mila. Elokach Omar, Omol ve'etze sakona, Omol ve'etze sakona. He says, I can't do bris mila, it's a sakona. It's dangerous for my child. So the Gemara says that why did Moshe Rabbeinu not do bris milah on his son? Because it was dangerous under the circumstances. If it's dangerous, pekuach nefesh. Pekuach nefesh, you don't have to do bris milah. The Mizrahi, who was almost a Rishon, one of the earliest Achrenim, asks a famous question. The whole halacha of sakana. How do we know that we don't have to perform mitzvahs when there's a sakana? V'chai bohem. That posuk, that heter, was only given at Matan Torah, not prior to Matan Torah. The non-Jews don't have that heter. For them, if it's life-threatening, if it's a mitzvah to do, it's too bad, you've got to put your life in danger. It's a special halacha that is exclusive to Jews. So what heter did Moshe Rabbeinu have not to do the milah? What are you going to tell me? Because it was life-threatening. Excuse me, that is a heter for Jews only. This is prior to Matan Torah.
Can't you learn it out from a Ravina, a Kaddish book who came to Merape, a Ravina, because he was out, and this is a con, he was not comfortable?
I would say almost the contrary. So why did Hashem tell him to do the mitzvah in the first place? A 99-year-old man, it's a sakana sefashas. That's what you could have asked.
Okay.
Many explain that no, Moshe Rabbeinu held that Kodem Matan Torah, the Jews had the status of Jews. Therefore, they did have the heter of Sakana. Therefore, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, he was a Jew. He had no chiyuv to perform the mitzvah of Mila under the circumstances because it was a Sakana. In which case, we're going to get very stuck now. Moshe Rabbeinu maintained that the status of the Jews prior to Matan Torah was indeed a status of a Jew.
What it means, Rav? Tell me, please, because we have three definitions. Goy, then Jew who did not receive Torah, and Jew who received Torah. So what means the status of Jew?
No, so according to the Achrenim, the status of the Jews, at least the Ovis, not everybody, the Ovis, the descendants of the Ovis, Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, they had the status of a Jew.
So
even though they had Makabal the Torah, it doesn't mean they were mechuyev to keep mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu kiyem kol ha'Torah kulei, even despite not being obligated, wasn't mechuyev to keep the Torah. But with regard to those halachas, the halachas of a Yid, the halachas of a Goy, they're the status of a Jew. They're the status of a Jew not being mechuyev to keep mitzvahs. Avraham Avinu kept kol ha'Torah kulei.
Even if it was like a kula. You can say you're not mechuyev, so you can keep it anyway, but with chayev him, it was like a kula.
And that's the chiddush, even a kula. Even a kula. That's the way the Mishnah Melech, by the way, presents his sofik. Is it only l'chumra or is it l'kula? They say no, you get all the status of a Jew, just not mechuyev to keep mitzvahs. In which case, we've seen, number one, the Chiddush HaRan says mefurish, that the only reason why the mitzvah was killed is because he hit a Jew. Had he hit a non-Jew, he wouldn't have been killed. And he points out specifically, don't tell me, well, this is prior to Matan Torah, he doesn't have the status of a Jew, he has the status of a Jew. Number two, we see Moshe Rabbeinu himself maintained that the Jews had the status of a Jew. In which case, we need to understand, let's go back to square one. On day one, he saw the Mitzri, he killed him, no questions asked, no Hasra, wonderful. Day two, when it was a Jew hitting a Jew, so we said there was a Pasha of a Roidef going on, fine, it's a Mamonoshech. If it's a Roidef, the Rambam says you need Hasra. So what was this middle ground? He said, Lomo Sakereyecho. What is he giving him Asra? Is he not giving him Asra?
He's not responsible to execute anything.
He
doesn't responsible because he said that we don't have to keep mitzvahs before Torah. We are Jew, but we don't have to. So right now, Rodef, it's only a volunteer Rodef. You don't have to kill Rodef before, right?
Could be. Benachanami, I want to know. So what were these words for? What was the purpose of these words?
As soon as I volunteer to do something beyond Torah, I can tell anything what I would like.
So let's work out. What were these words
for? You're reading the question. Maybe we're all reading it as a question. But maybe it's a bit bigger. You're going to tell me you can kill this person? You know the halakha. You know the halakha. You're telling me you could kill this person?
And that's what he's telling to this mitzvah.
Yeah, in other words,
okay.
I can turn it into a bit mirror rather than a question.
Okay, so I almost want to say that. I want to suggest very, very simply that it's true. Moshe Rabbeinu viewed this as a Jew hitting a Jew. And a Jew who wants to kill a Jew has the status of a raider. Anybody who wants to kill a Jew has the status of a raider. And he deserved to be killed. However, there is a halacha. And we've discussed this halacha many times. The Gemara tells us you only kill him if you can't be matzil echad be'evoro. If you can prevent him another way. For example, you see Reuven running after Shimon. And Reuven's running with a gun. He wants to kill Shimon. You're allowed to kill Reuven. But if it's preventable, then it's preventable. For example, matzil be'echad me'evoro, which means don't shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the foot. Shoot him in the leg. That will prevent him killing Shimon as well. So much so, the Gemara says, if you dare kill this Reidef, when you could have saved Shimon without killing the Reidef, you yourself are Chayav Misa. You had no right to kill him. You could have saved him in a much easier way. Mm-hmm. That's what the Rambam says. Again, let's have a look at number 8 on the sheets. V'im yecholim lahatziloi be'ever me'evare ha'Reidef kagoyin. For example, sheyaku oisei b'cheitz. He'll shoot an arrow, oibe evan, oibe saif, v'yiktu es yodov. And you could chop his hand off in that way. I'm an expert archer, or shooter, and I could shoot and knock his hand off, or maim him. Or yishburu es ragloi, or break his leg. Or yisamu es enoi, or blind his eye. Oisin, that's what you've got to do. Which means that every roidif always have to assess, do I have to kill him, or is it preventable? Do I have to kill him? If it's not preventable, if it's not possible to aim that well, then you've got to shoot. And if it happens to kill him, it's bad luck. You couldn't aim in any better way. So it could be very simply that we can suggest, like the Ponami office, really, what was going on over here was a pash of a raidif. And he deserved to be killed. So we said, fine, so either give him Hasra or don't give him Hasra. What's his middle ground? So I'm saying like you, Rabbi Yosef. Moshe Rabbeinu was just trying anything he could to prevent him killing. Let's get engaged in discussion. Why are you hitting him? You see, it helped at the end. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, on the one hand, couldn't kill him without Hasra, because he requires Hasra, he has the status of a Jew. But on the other hand, if I want to kill him, either I can give him Hasra, but if it's preventable, it's preventable. Which indeed it was. So he went up to him, and before he went up to him and said, right, I'm going to kill you, he said, no, let's get engaged in discussion. Let's try and prevent this death. If I can prevent this death by getting engaged in discussion, well, that's the best. I'm allowed to prevent this death even by blinding you, by knocking off his leg, his hand. So certainly, if I can stop this rediva going on by saying, why are you killing him? Just stop! And I've got no heta afterwards to kill him. You can't say, yeah, but he's a roidif. No, but even a roidif, the worst roidif in the world, can only be killed if it's not preventable. This was preventable. So in which case, in summary, we have two different parshas on 2 days, two very different stories going on. On day one, we have the Mitzri hitting the Jew. The Gemara says he's chayav misa. The Rambam says, yeah, but only min ha-shamayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu carried out a misa b'dei shamayim. That's why he used the Shema Mefirish. That's why he had to gaze in the future to see what would happen. That's why he gave no hasra whatsoever, because there was a goy involved. He just went up to him and killed him. On day two was a completely different story. Day two, when there were two Jews fighting, the Medrash says they weren't just fighting. In fact, they were at each other's throats. They were trying to kill each other. There was a pash of roediv going on over here. So Ponim Yofa says, Loma Sakarefa is a Loshon of Hasra. A bit difficult, we said. It's not really a Loshon of Hasra. The Rambam says, the Loshon of Hasra is you tell him, this is what's going to happen to you, this is the Aveira. We're suggesting a middle ground. It's true he was a Reide, and he had every right to kill him, but if you can prevent it by knocking off one of his Eivarim, then Kal V'chaimah you're mechuyev to prevent it by getting engaged in discussion. Let's have a chat about this. Lo masakrecho, why are you hitting him? He responds, halogeni atoima. Two pashas, two very different halachas. One halacha of a Jew being hit by a non-Jew. One halacha of a Jew hitting a Jew. One's a pasha of hakoas ivri, and one's a pasha of reidiv. Two different pashas.
Yes, of course. And the Mitzri, did he try to kill this Jew?
The Mitzri...